This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Mom and Me and Mom, her book about her relationship with her mother. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you are not a KBOO member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate today. Stick around. Up next, it's Air Cascadia. Headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre.
Dance companies and orchestras around the world are celebrating the 100th anniversary of Igor Stravinsky's masterpiece, The Rite of Spring. Here in Portland, new choreography to Stravinsky's score will be performed by the Agnieszka Laska Dancers in collaboration with the PSU Orchestra under the direction of Ken Selden. The performance of The Rite of Spring will take place Friday, June 7th at 8 p.m. at Lincoln Hall on the Portland State University campus. More information about this KBOO-sponsored event may be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Thursday, June 6th, 2013, and you are listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Bark's Alex Brown joins us with an update on summer actions in and around Mount Hood. Precision cast parts. Workers are preparing for a landmark machinist union vote this week. And Julian Assange has written a piece on the banality of don't be evil regarding Google. At the same time, this came out this week at the same time as we received the none too surprising news that Verizon has been handing over all of our phone records probably they'll wind up in the vast, gigantic new data storage facility in Utah, which was built expressly to store the proceeds from breaking in to American citizens' private conversations. First, this from the National Weather Service. Sunny today, highs around 79, bit breezy, 6 to 9 miles per hour. Tonight, we could see some clouds moving in with a low around 54. And we could, again, it is breezy, more so overnight, wind 6 to 11, gusting up to 20 miles per hour. For tomorrow, cloudy skies with a high near 75, calm winds becoming north-northwest 5 to 9 in the afternoon. And for Friday night, overcast skies, lows around 52, and a north-northwest wind 6 to 13 miles per hour. The alternative forecast. We have a waning crescent fruit moon in Aries. The moon is 27 days old. Synodic forecast has this. Not a good time for sowing anything in the garden. Instead, weed, compost, and harvest. The biodynamic forecast with the moon in Aries. It's a fire sign, so it's a good time to sow fruiting plants. The sidereal outlook, moon in Aries, dry and barren. So work on the garden maintenance, assuming that is weeding and composting, much more too. Now we go to a few stories from around Cascadia. One of the interesting things is the crumbling infrastructure. If anyone hasn't taken note of that, bridges falling apart. And now we have this collapse of a building in Philadelphia. It's extraordinary. This is a sort of event that one normally associates with third world countries. And not too deep scratch on the surface reveals that the United States of America is, in fact, a third world country. We don't manufacture anything. We outsource all manufacturing. The only jobs that are left are low-level, service-level jobs. The one percenters at the very top aren't really Americans anymore. They are global predators. And their essentially stateless status allows them to move from one locale to another. So despoiling the environment in one country is not a matter of sorrow or wailing and gnashing of teeth for these people. They simply move on to the next place, leaving a bit behind in their wake completely ruined habitat and crumbling buildings and bridges. Our infrastructure is on the skids at the moment. There are, of course, a few rays of light. There are many in Oregon, many around Cascadia activist groups who fight the good fight to protect what's left of the living world. BARC is one of these. BARC, we hope to get Alex Brown, we hope to get someone from BARC on the show today to talk a bit about some of the activities that BARC has planned for this summer. This is an organization that makes activism fun in many and various ways, and their support of Pedalpalooza and their hikes and ground truthing sessions up on the slopes of Mount Hood are well known to many people and have in fact accomplished a great many goals in a rather painless way, making it fun and informative to take part. We're going to try to get Alex Brown on the line, and until that moment, we're going to move right on to news from around Cascadia. One of the companies that has frequently been in the papers is the Precision Cast Parts and their efforts to organize that. Three dozen factory workers were at a packed Southeast Portland Union Hall last week. The approach of Oregon's biggest private sector unionization vote in more than 30 years. Oh, here in Cascadia, the unions are not as dead as they are in some parts of the country. Mood, from all reports, was enthusiastic, and it was a celebratory atmosphere. Precision Cast Parts management appears alarmed as the landmark vote comes involving 12 plants that make complex critical bits for Boeing planes, Rolls-Royce engines, and other industrial products. Union representatives see Precision as a big potential prize, rare as U.S. manufacturing moves offshore and as organized labor's numbers and reputation decline nationally. The only reason that mainstream media, I use that word carefully because across virtually every source that has been emphasized that labor's reputation has declined, well, there's only one reason for that, and that is because mainstream media reports that it has declined. The vilification of labor in general has driven much of the union busting that we have been witness to over the past few years. This company, though, has flown in executives from union-staffed subsidiaries, 20% of them. They have nearly 29,000 employees, and nearly 22% of those worldwide are organized. The companies brought these stooges in to describe the woes of strikes, work stoppages, and concessions. Precision also went out and hired the Burke Group. It's a national consultant that specializes in anti-union campaigns. Googling them, don't be evil, of course, as well as Googling them will easily show that their anti-union campaigns have been vicious. And as well as labor experts, also with at Portland Law Firm, Stoll Reeves. And Stoll Reeves is a local operation. And it is also the law firm that defended Shell Oil's exploits beneath the Arctic ice and beneath the actual surface of the earth. They're trying to drill down and at a right angle to get at the oil. Stoll Reeves there every step of the way, duking it out in court to protect Shell. These groups, though, well, employees are, of course, complaining of mandatory overtime shifts that force them to work weeks at a stretch. Managers alternately play nice to talk darkly of outsourcing or moving factories should the union prevail. Company executives repeatedly declined comment on the election to be supervised by the National Labor Relations Board, but a May 30th letter leaked by employees reveals deep company concern. Their president of manufacturing, by the way, Kevin Stein, made $3.8 million last year, and he went out and told workers that the vote amounts to one of the most important decisions they'll ever make as employees. And how is about the only thing one can say to that. This relates, of course, to virtually every other aspect of life in the U.S. of A. today. Our crumbling infrastructure is not disassociated from the union-busting activities of management. In Philadelphia, searches have found more people, a woman buried beneath the rubble of the collapsed building. Early today, 61-year-old Mara Peckham was pulled from the debris more than 12 hours after the building had collapsed. And she's the 14th survivor of Wednesday's catastrophes, which has already claimed six lives. It's absolutely inexcusable for something of this sort to happen. How could they not know? How could they not know? We're going to also be trying to speak once again with Kevin Gastola at Fire Dog Lake. He was joined us yesterday to talk about the Bradley Manning court-martial. That is suspended for the week. We'll resume again next week. There are a great many more questions to ask. We wanted to be a general overview of the court-martial proceedings and what we want to talk about today is how those proceedings differ from regular civilian trials. David Coombs, the lead attorney for the defense defending Bradley Manning, says that he prefers the court-martial architecture to civil courts. And the reason why are complex and interesting, where the possibility of having this whole show trial tossed out. Where that comes in, well, we don't actually know yet, though the government's case has been shown to be increasingly built on not much more than thin air, trying to prove that harm did arise as a result of Manning's disclosure has proved virtually impossible, largely because there has been no harm. And meanwhile, in the rest of the news, some very great, great, grave disclosures have in fact affected people's lives have come forth. We have also the it staggers the mind how a U.S. soldier can go out in the middle of the night, not once, but twice, and kill people whose names he couldn't even pronounce in court. Good morning. We have Kevin Gastola of Fire Dog Lake with us. Good morning, Kevin. Thank you for joining us once again. Good morning. Yeah, we're very, really pleased to have you back. There are a few more questions that we wanted to get to having more or less worked around in generalities yesterday. David Coombs, Manning's attorney, lead attorney, says that he prefers the court-martial format to civilian trials. Why is that?
Well, I mean, I think it's part of his job, his profession. He's chosen to be a military lawyer, so he's decided to talk up the what he thinks are the pros of being in the military justice system, because I don't know, maybe that's, you know, it's part of his job. It's what he wants to talk about.
But how would it differ? How would this differ? How do these things affect? Now I hear the theme music. Kevin, I have to apologize to you. Now we are out of time. I'm going to ask you if you could possibly join me in just a moment. We'll pre-record something, and we can put that on the air. I'm terribly sorry that this happened. I'm under serious time constraints, and perhaps we can talk at greater length and in more detail, record that, and put it on the KBOO website. That's all the time that we have for today. This is Bina Cascadia for Thursday, June 6, 2013. Rock Bergeron engineered the show today. Thanks so much, Rock. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.
Flashpoints will have an in-depth update on the military whistleblower trial of Bradley Manning. Also, sectarian violence continues to grow in Iraq. 1,000 people were killed in May in sectarian violence in Iraq. We're going to talk about why that's unfolding now. And much more. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. This is your daily investigative news magazine. Well, the trial of whistleblower Bradley Manning continued today. I believe they're breaking now for the rest of